Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $100 at WynnBET and get a $100 free bet. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford. I am here in Newcastle upon Tyne, northeast corner of England. Today is Thursday, August the 18th, and I am here with my two co-hosts to preview a full slate of 15 MLB games for Friday, August the 19th. Co-host number one, as I'm looking top right-hand corner, I can just make him out, even though he is in camouflage, is Mr. Dylan Rockford. Dylan, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Hit up my lock and dog for today. Had two winning days. Didn't get there. Finished 2-3 today, but I might add the Mets tonight. Might as well with Jacob DeGrom on the mound.
Yeah, nice early start. Early flex from Dylan as well. Straight in with the flex.
Did you see my dog of the day, Dylan?
Oh, I did. It's a lot, though. But he did get it last game.
Yeah.
But I hope he does. If he gets 10, I think we'll be in good shape.
That voice you heard is Noah Bennick. Noah, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Malcolm. I've always wondered. You say Pontine at the end of Newcastle. How do you spell that? How do you spell it?
So it's a Newcastle hyphen UPON upon, okay. As in once upon a time. And then another hyphen in TYNE is the river Tyne. So Newcastle is upon the River Tyne, and that's the name of our city, Newcastle upon Tyne.
I was so lost there.
I should have got you to write it out.
We've gone from April to August, and I've never asked. So,
yeah, to be fair, I don't know why I just don't say Newcastle, but the official name is the city of Newcastle upon Tyne. There you go. The Tyne is the beautiful. We've talked about this before, that we have the river with all the bridges running through it, very similar to Pittsburgh when you sent some photos. Dylan's had some winners. I've had some winners, although Moon have tried to take them away from me on the graphic. We're right in the middle of a slate of games. There's been a gazillion runs scored so far, but I had the Astros and White Sox go over 8.5, which is currently 17-5 in favor of the Astros.
It was 10-0 after 4.
Texas on the run line, if they've won that 10-3. We had the St. Louis Cardinals on the run line. They won 13-0. So, runs galore so far tonight.
Are hot.
Yeah, going okay. Tell us about your you've got a K prop tonight, haven't you, Jacob DeGrom?
Yeah, I got DeGrom tonight. It's 9.5 Ks. And I mean, I'm living to my word yesterday on the podcast. I mean, he's hit that in his last two starts. And the first start that he didn't, he only went or was allowed to go 5 innings, 60 pitches, and he had 6 strikeouts. So it's like everything spells that he's going to have double-digit strikeouts tonight, and he's already faced the Braves teams once, done it, and they offered it at plus money. I couldn't pass on it. And we already hit on the Zach Gallen Ks today, so that one was not offered at the 4.5 that was regular. 5.5 still too low. So, like I mentioned yesterday, just kind of the out west market is a little bit weak, I think.
I have a quick question for you guys. I know that the Mets seem to have been controlling his innings pitch, Jacob DeGrom. But if it was up to him, I think he'd go a little longer. In such a key game today, do you think they'll let him go a little more, maybe 6-7 innings?
Yeah, I do.
Agree, yeah. I think at certain points, I know there's a lot of sports science and stuff involved, but with a senior professional like that, you've just got to trust them sometimes. You've got to let them go. And certain clubs will do that. And I don't think the Mets would have a problem doing that at all and just letting him go. It's a big series. And I think they trust him. He's a senior guy. He knows his own body. And yeah, I'm looking forward to watching an hour later on.
Yes, sir.
We mentioned just DeGrom's strikeout chart because we do broadcast this live on YouTube and Twitter. There's a couple of faces already in there who might want to get on those strikeout props. So part of the reason we mentioned it, good evening to the ladies and gents who are in there. Lane's one of the faces who's been picking up a couple of winners already by the looks of it. So let's get to these Friday games. There is one afternoon game, which is at the Chicago Cubs, where the Milwaukee Brewers are the visitors. It is a 2:20 Eastern first pitch, and it's Aaron Ashby, left-handed pitcher, going against Keegan Thompson. I have lines. I think we've got lines for 14 of the 15 games here. Only run lines here. We've got no total, but we do have Dylan, who is a total machine. So the Brewers are -140. The Cubs here are at +119. And we're going to get Noah. You can lead us off with a handicap for the Brewers at the Cubs.
All right. So travel day for Milwaukee, not too bad. They're going from Milwaukee to Chicago. But for the Cubs, they're coming to Chicago from Baltimore. So just one time zone change, not too bad. The Brew Crew, they have kind of come alive. Depending on what happens here Thursday's game, they've either split the series or had LA on the ropes in three of their four games against the Dodgers. The Cubs, they're 24-34 at Wrigley Field this season. 5-2 in their last seven games. So, I mean, at home is anywhere really. They have a losing record both at home and the road. But just at home, they are not one of the best teams in the MLB at defending their home field. Aaron Ashby going for the Brewers. He is 2-10 on the year with a 4.24 ERA, 108 strikeouts, 43 walks in 91.1 innings pitched. He has a 3.32 ERA in his last four games. And Dylan, you were in the comments yesterday stirring the pot up a little bit.
So he was.
You want to know why I lost the fantasy matchup for real against Malcolm last weekend?
Yeah, I did.
I streamed Keegan Thompson because I just wanted a win for Cushion to make sure I had him beaten wins, and it ended up losing me in ERA and WHIP. So this is what happened. Keegan Thompson's pitching against the Reds. He got taken to the woodshed by the Reds. Four runs in 2.2 innings. He didn't get the win. He had a 3 whip and a 21.60 ERA. It was just murked from the second that he towed the rubber. So terrible, terrible outing. Keegan Thompson's looking to bounce back on the season. He's 9-5, 3.75 ERA, 88 strikeouts, 34 walks, in 100.2 innings. The Cubs, their lineup struggles. They just swing and miss too much against left-handed pitching. When on his A game, Ashby can be nasty, and this bullpen for the Brewers, I'm comfortable with. So give me the money line in this game.
Brewers money line, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Dylan, what was your handicap? And firstly, what was your total on this one, as we don't have one?
Yeah, I set my total at 9.7. I think we see some runs here. But I'll start with a home puppy, Malcolm. Give me the Cubs on the money line +120. I actually made them a -115 favorite. I think you're right, Malcolm. All the pods that you were talking about, I think the Brewers are kind of fraudulent. I don't trust their offense. And the Cubs are actually playing better ball than the Brewers right now. Keegan Thompson, he's really good at home. I know he had a rough start last time against the Reds, but at home, six of his nine wins have come at Wrigley. So I think if he brings his A game, he'll be able to limit the Brewers. So I'm going to take the Cubs here at home +120.
Yeah, I came down on the same side, Dylan, the Cubs. Aaron Ashby is an absolute roller coaster, and I agree with Noah that he can be nasty. I've actually got him in my TGFBI team. I've benched him a couple of times. But you do get the feeling at some point he's going to no-hit someone. He's going to sort of no-hit a team with 14 strikeouts or something. He's absolutely got that in him. But he's been up and down like a bride's nightly so far this season. The Brewers have made a bit of a fool of me so far this week as well, after I've talked about how uncompetitive their bats have been. And they lost the first game in that series 4-0. They've come back 1-2 in a row, or it might be 3-0, because they've actually won tonight as well.
No, they split. They went 2-2 then.
Oh, was it 2-2? Maybe the first.
I think they lost the third game.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And they've mugged me off a little bit ever since. But I'm still. I've got to stick to my guns. I don't think. I think Thompson can go okay here. And like Ashby, you just don't know what you're going to get. Absolutely, don't know what you're going to get. Could be a bit of a letdown spot for the Brewers as well after a couple of decent wins. So I'll take the Cubs.
I really like the bullpen in this matchup. For me personally, you know, Thompson could go very well, but this Cubs bullpen is bottom five in the league. And the Brewers, they still have some talent back there, and they've showed it in this Dodgers series. So I trust that the Brewers are going to be able to keep the Cubs low scoring. I know the Brewers are going to be low scoring. So, you know, under, and I like the Brewers.
Could maybe pivot to Cubs first five would be another option on the back of Noah's bullpen information. Okay, 7:05 Eastern first pitch, which is keeping me out of the forgetting about the Mets trap because they are early. The Mets travel to the Phillies, where Chris Bassitt will take on Aaron Nola for Philadelphia. The Mets arm +105, Philadelphia -125. Total here is set at 8. D-Rock, you can take us off with your Mets. And do you want to mention Brett Bailey before we go any further?
Yeah, Brett Bailey, first career at-bat, home run. It was incredible. I watched it. It was an absolute shot, too, off the bat. And his parents were in the stand, so probably a really proud moment for them. And he actually fielded the ball really well at third base, too. He's an interesting prospect. I don't know how much time he'll get up, maybe up until Luis Guillorme's back healthy, but good addition, and I hope the best for him. I hope he comes up permanently within the next year or two. But, as for this game, I was able to grab an under 8.5 when the lines dropped, but I see 7.5s right now. I actually still like the under. I made my line 6.7, mainly because of how good Bassitt has been in the month of August. 3 straight games with 0 runs given up, 20 innings, 0 runs given up. And he's owned the Phillies this year, 2-0, and has a 1.08 ERA. Aaron Nola, he's pitched pretty good as well, but he hasn't allowed more than 3 runs in 4 starts against the Mets. So I just think this game screams under. So I'm going to go under 8.5, whatever you could get.
Exactly the same, Dylan, under 8. I do trust both pitchers here. And I think this is going to be a tight series. You've got the Mets, who are rolling out a slightly understrength lineup. It's not terrible by any stretch, but just it's not the full strength lineup at all. And Philly at home, so that kind of equalizes things just a little bit. So this could be a really tight series. But behind 2 good pitching performances here, I was happy to take the under 8 as well. Dylan, Noah, what do you think?
Well, I'm on the under 8 as with you guys. I can't talk right now, but I'm not going to go into more analysis. You guys covered it pretty well. And instead, I'm going to give you another useless stat. Brett Beatty, 22 years old. His jersey number is 22. He hit a 2-run home run in the second inning of yesterday's game on the second pitch he has seen in the year 2022 in the MLB. So lots of 2s, lots crazy. Of 22s. Just a useless stat of the day.
It really was entirely useless, but I enjoyed it, Noah. Thank you very much. Next up, we'll go to a 7:05 Eastern first pitch between the Boston Red Sox and the Baltimore Orioles. Cutter Crawford takes the hill for the Boston Red Sox, and Jordan Lyle goes for Baltimore. Money line's only here, and it is a pick'em. I've got -110 each of 2. Cutter Crawford has a 3-4 record with a 4.18 ERA, has pitched 64 2/3 with 65 strikeouts. Jordan Lyles is 9-9, 4.48 ERA, 134 2/3 pitched with 114 strikeouts. Crawford's been going along okay, 3.77 ERA in his last 5. His last 2 starts have not been as good. He gave up 5 earned runs against Kansas City, and he got away with 4 walks against the Yankees. This stat line didn't actually come out too bad, but I feel like he kind of got away with it a little bit. He's not been as good on the road either, 4.30 ERA on his travels. Jordan Lyles, 3.33 over his last 5. He's been really consistent, Lyles. He's got a decent 2.73 home ERA. I think my reading of the situation here, and this has been backed up by how Baltimore have performed tonight, is that their offense, as much as we've enjoyed them, they've been a fun story this season. I just think their offense is going to regress a little bit. They don't have a load of stellar hitters in there, and they were overperforming. What's the score tonight? Three to two down in the top of the ninth against the Cubs. So yeah, again, just 2 runs against not a great pitch inside in the Chicago Cubs. So I'm going to take Boston here. I think Boston have been a little bit more competitive. They think we've got that horrible run out of their system, and it'll pick him. I think Boston are the better team than Baltimore. There's not much between the two pitchers. So I will take the Red Sox. By the way, the Astros have just made it a 21 blackjack for the Astros. They are 21-5. So Boston, Baltimore, Noah.
Give me Baltimore. I like the momentum of this team a little bit more than the Red Sox right now. For me personally, Baltimore just is very, very valuable at home. I don't know if that's the correct term for that, but I mean, when they open up as a favorite, most of the time they've been opening up as a dog. But if they open up as a favorite, the book definitely knows something. So I'm going to be on the favorite with the Orioles here. And this is about the time of the podcast where I'll squeak in a little League World Series update. my champion, my plus 500 future, Hawaii, they mercied the team they played yesterday, 11-1. So there you go. I mean, if you can find odds on your book, just keep rolling over the money line until they get to the championship and they play Japan or Chinese Taipei. But yeah, so give me the Orioles in this game.
Yeah, I think he threw that out last night as well, Hawaii. I know Moon, I've had a little... Had a little run line on there.
I say it there because on Sunday, Baltimore and Boston will play each other in Williamsport. So it's very cool. So
Yeah, certainly is. Dylan, Boston at Baltimore.
Yeah, so excuse me. I do see a total. It's at 9. So I don't know if you like the under or over for that, Malcolm. But as for me, I got to side with Noah here. I'm actually surprised that the Red Sox are a short favorite. I thought the line would be flip. I made the Orioles a minus 130 favorite at Camden Yards. So just another spot where the pitcher pitches much better at his home park. Lyles, he's 4-2 at home with a 2.70 ERA. The last time he faced the Red Sox at home, he went 6 strong innings, only gave up 1 run, and the O's got the win. So Even in the no decision at Fenway, he only gave up 3 runs. So I don't particularly think the Red Sox are going to get to him. I like this matchup against Cutter Crawford. Awesome name, by the way, Cutter Crawford. So
good baseball name.
Yeah, great baseball name. I just think Jordan Lyles is a tad better than him right now. Cutter Crawford, he walks a lot of batters for my liking. So give me another home puppy.
Oh, our esteemed leader Moonaf. You know what? I was just going to say we're going to be on our best behaviour because Moonaf is here to join us. And Moonaf has just joined in the stack with his silly and scurrilous comments that he tailed my lock on the graphic and lost, when actually Moonaf had incorrectly put my lock graphic on. That's quite funny, Moonaf, actually. I'll give you that. But we all know who the real winner was, and it was me twice.
The White Sox put in Josh Harrison to pitch, and he's giving up bombs left and right.
Oh, excellent. We got the over 8.5. 7:05 Eastern first pitch. And now I'm seeing a picture for this one. This was the one we were TBD earlier on. The Cincinnati Reds against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Graham Ashcraft for the Cincinnati Reds. And as Noah suspected, it is going to be Bryce Wilson for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And the books, that happened in the last 30 seconds. That happened before my eyes. So we have no lines for this one at all. But Dylan, if you've got any leans on Ashcraft against Wilson, what have you got?
No real I didn't know Graham Ashcraft was going, but I don't know. You got to think they're both really bad. You got to think Ashcraft would open up short favorite maybe. I think he's a little better than Wilson. I know the Pirates are at home, but they're not particularly well. They play well at home. So maybe depending on the total, maybe we look towards an over, because both below average pitchers, I would lean over in this game. I got to see where the lines end up, though.
Yeah, Noah, hands up. What you got?
Yeah, Malcolm, I mean, he's your guy. Ashcraft pitches better at home at the Great American Family Ballpark or something like that in Cincinnati. If there's a ballpark that's quite similar to Cincinnati, it's PNC. Is it just a comfortability factor in Cincinnati and he just doesn't like pitching on the road? Or is this something that, I guess, analytically, is there something up with Ashcraft's road starts?
Yeah, well, I'm not the right man to ask. I don't know. I've enjoyed him. I think Elaine in the chat's pointing out that he has been one of the most profitable pitchers this season. Yes. It might just be a complete coincidence, because actually what happened was he pitched really well for a spell, and then he didn't. And all of a sudden, he's kind of evened out a little bit. And he got quite a lot of airtime, actually, in the early months of the season here, because we were following him. We were doing okay. Oh, yeah. So, I do like him. This is an odd one. I would take Cincinnati here. I've just been out on Pittsburgh aren't playing very well at all lately. Neither is Cincinnati. It's not one to inspire any confidence. But I do trust Ashcraft. I think he's got it in him, and I'd like him. If he puts one decent road start up, I think he could reel off two or three, because I don't think there's anything in it really, other than, like I say, possible coincidence. Or he is new to the show as well, so I would say about that. So I would take Cincinnati on the money line, but it's not a strong lean. Plus, we haven't seen any odds either. So, did you give a pick on that one, Noah?
No, I went digging more into Ashcraft, because I'm almost auto fade Bryce Wilson every time. Just Ashcraft on the road nerves me a little bit. He had a 27 ERA, gave up 7 runs in 2.1 innings at Wrigley Field. I mean, you never know. The wind could be blowing out pretty strong there. But that's his worst outing on the road. Definitely is going to skew the road ERA there. And yeah, in his last 4 starts, he has a 2.48 ERA. So give me the Reds and Ashcraft here at PNC Park.
Yeah, if you look, Noah, his last 2 outings on the road, he's only given up 1 run. And then the 3rd start against the Yankees, they actually upset the Yankees. And he went 5 innings and only gave up 3 runs against a very good lineup. So
yeah, I wasn't going to mention the last 2 starts, because they're against the Marlins and the Brewers, 2 pretty down offenses. Yeah. But yeah,
but still,
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so
Pittsburgh,
like,
is no better.
might just be a bit of a coincidence, and he's settling down again. So you're happy to take Ashcraft in that spot. 7:05 Eastern, first pitches. Probably one of the 2 series of the weekend here, the Toronto Blue Jays at the New York Yankees, where Kevin Gausman will take the hill for Toronto, and Jameson Taillon goes for the New York Yankees. Toronto are +110. The Yankees are -130 favorites. Total here set at 7.5. Noah, interesting stuff here. The Yankees eventually got a win last night, and they needed it, and got it in very dramatic fashion. So can they build on that in this game tomorrow against the Blue Jays?
Yeah, I tweeted it out last night, but Stephen A. Smith is going to be the one to blame after the second half hot streak that the Yankees are going to go on here, starting yesterday, continuing today, going into tomorrow. The Blue Jays, they were hot for a little bit, but now they're 2-6 in the last 8 games, and I just love Johnny Genta's Twitter feed just blowing up the Blue Jays left and right. The Yankees, well, since that Stephen A. Smith effect, like I mentioned, he called out Shohei Ohtani last year at the All-Star game, said he couldn't be the face of baseball because he didn't speak English. Shohei Ohtani went out and won the AL MVP. He calls out Aaron Judge for being in a little slump, and the Bronx Bombers are just going to go out and go on a tear, and he's probably going to win MVP too. It's just, he is the one to blame for this Yankees hot streak that is going to begin. Kevin Gausman's on the mound for Toronto. He has a 3.16 ERA, 142 strikeouts, 21 walks, and 122.1 innings pitched. On the road, he has a 1.85 ERA, very legit. And then Jameson Taillon for the Yankees, he's 11-3 this year, 3.95 ERA, 108 strikeouts, 24 walks, and 127.2 innings pitched. At home in Yankee Stadium is a 3.70 ERA. I think this is going to be a low scoring game. I like the under, but you know what? Let's get spicy. Yankees run line and like a 3-1 ball game. How about you guys?
Okay, I like that. Noah out on a limb. What was your number, Dylan, and what do you think?
Yeah, I set my total at 7.4, so slight lean to the under. I do think they're going to continue to slump, but I'm going to continue to fade the Yankees here. I did make them a short favorite at minus 115, but I was able to get a plus 115 with the Blue Jays, so I hopped on that. I really like backing Gausman on the road. Like Noah said, 1.83 ERA on the road. He's won his last three starts on the road, and he's only given up 5 runs in 17 innings. So Tyon, he's been really good as well, but I just trust the Blue Jays a little more in this spot. I think that one game last night, getting a grand slam in the last inning, it's kind of a fluke. I'll back the Blue Jays here.
It's kind of a fluke, but that's a momentum starter.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
It might be, but I still don't trust Donaldson. Because that's a pop-up in any other field.
Did you see the other home run that hit the top of the wall, too?
Yeah, I did see that.
I've got the over here, actually. I think both pitchers have been relatively vulnerable lately. I know Gausman's been much better away from home, but he has got 2.5 earned run starts relatively recently. Tyone's last three starts, he's given up 3, 3, and 5. So those figures are plenty good enough to take this over, especially with two potent offenses who can go off. And I handicap the game that's going to the Thursday night game. I did predict a wild one. I think I might have been a day too late because we got the wild one on Wednesday. So, but I think there could be runs again. I think this could be a bit of a wild series. So I'll take the over. 7.5 is just too low, I think. Both these offenses can contribute and we can get there. 7:10 Eastern first pitch. The LA Angels at the Detroit Tigers, where left-handed pitcher Patrick Sandoval goes for the Angels. And Matt Manning is the man on the hill for Detroit. Lines are money lines only here. LA Angels minus 135. A home puppy, the Detroit Tigers, at plus 115. And we will send this across to me, is the answer. Sandoval is 3-8 with a 3.42 ERA. That's pitched 100 innings with 106 strikeouts. Matt Manning, no record to speak of yet, a 3.24 ERA in his 25 innings pitched with 17 strikeouts. Sandoval's his record, 3-8, isn't particularly inspiring. Neither is his recent record of 0-4. With a 4.94 ERA in his last five. But that's not entirely his fault. He's actually pitched quite well. It's a combination. He's got two below average starts in there. And then the Angels just suck in. They've scored 4-8, and they've scored 9 runs in his last 5 starts. So he's getting no run support at all. He's pitched better on the road as well, 3.47 ERA on the road. Matt Manning is only in his... or what was it, 5th start, I think, since coming back from injury. And he's been going okay. He's settled in a little bit. I like that he's upped his Ks in his last two starts to 7-5, where before that, the first three starts were hanging around 1-2. And he can get strikeouts. So I didn't know if Noah might be looking at a strikeout prop here. If there was over 4.5, I think Manning can strike out this Angels side because they do strike out a lot, Los Angeles. The pick I've got, it's a slow burner. I've got the under. I saw 7 earlier on. That line's gone off the board at the moment. But I think both pitchers can go relatively well here. I don't mind Sandoval at all or Manning. Little offense we can see, particularly from the Tigers. So, yeah, under 7. But maybe, Noah, over on the strikeout props for Manning.
You know, Manning on the strikeout props isn't a bad idea. Actually wasn't where I was going for this game in a player prop, actually. Manning is a fastball pitcher. Pulling up his Statcast right now. 50% fastballs. Big bad Mike Trout makes his return for this game in the first game of the series against the Detroit Tigers. My goal is to maybe be there for Sunday to see Shohei Ohtani and E-Rod pitch against each other. I was there for Shohei's start in Detroit last year when Miggy was at 499 home runs, hit one to the warning track off him. But I digress. I actually love a Mike Trout comeback home run against Matt Manning. Matt Manning's fastball is not really elite, in my opinion. I think it's just a flat 95. So it's going to be perfect on a platter for Trout to just make a little bit of a statement and come back into the game. As for the strikeouts, you know, over 4.5. That's probably a good number because Manning does normally get to like 5 in his starts. But I mean, I think I like the Angels. I think it's going to be just a little bit of a energy boost getting Trout back. So give me them as, I mean, where are they at in the odds for this game again? What's the odds on this one?
Minus,
I mean, think it's not a smart idea taking the Angels as a favorite, but I think that's where I'm going to be.
Okay, brave man. Dylan?
Yeah, real quick, Noah, as a favorite, 36-29, the Angels. So pretty profitable for the year that they're having.
Actually, better than I thought.
Yeah, so I do like the under, Malcolm. I made my total 7.1. This probably won't be a game I'll have action on, but I was able to get the Angels at a minus 125 earlier, so I grabbed that. Matt Manning, like Noah said, he just isn't a guy I want to back. And Sandoval, I just think he's a tad better. I think his record isn't an indication of how decent he's pitched. He just hasn't gotten the run support, like you mentioned. And I think he could build off his last start on the road. He pitched pretty well against Mariners, who were hot. So I want to see a little more consistently from him. So slight lean under, slight lean Angels here. But I wouldn't back the Angels anything over a minus 140.
The lines that we give out on the MLB Gambling Podcast are from the WinBet, our title sponsor here. This is the perfect time to get across to WinBet and get the $100 offer where you'll bet $100 and you'll get $100 free bet. Plus, the WinBet Casino is open 24 hours a day. You'll get a 100% deposit bonus there, up to $1,000. And Win, they've also just released their first quarterback with 5 touchdown props. Loads to choose from. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet so they know you sent us. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today.
Dylan, I gave my pick yesterday on the pod. You're an NFL gambling podcast guy. Who gets the first 5 touchdowns thrown?
Oh, passing touchdowns?
Yeah.
Maybe Justin Herbert.
Oh, come on. It was going to be quick.
Justin Herbert, maybe.
Herbert. I think he's the favorite, right?
Yeah, he got to be, just with his weapons. Maybe even look like a sneaky guy like Kirk Cousins.
I said Brady. I think he had 5 touchdowns in the first game last year.
Yeah, but maybe I think with Bruce Arians, it might be a little defensive. They might run the ball a little more.
Maybe. All right.
I noticed you didn't ask me, Noah. The answer that you're looking for is Derek Carr.
He's on the NFL pod. That's why I asked, okay?
The answer is Derek Carr. Write that down. Dylan, write down Derek Carr. We'll come back to that in a month's time. I'll tell you what, if you're looking for information on those aforementioned NFL quarterbacks, the place to do it is at Odds Trader. You've got all the key game stats and player stats and stuff like that you need over there, as well as the comparison of odds from major sportsbooks and different sign-up codes and promotions, so you can find yourself in the right place. Odds Trader will also give you play-by-play updates, live scores, bet tracking, and there is a bet tracker that allows you to keep records of all your games and betting activity. So just the thing for us degens, if you go to oddstrader.com/bluewire, that is the place. Odds Trader is the number one site for all your game day bets. Dryden has joined us in the chat. Dryden, I've not seen you for a couple of days. Good evening. How are you doing? Next, we're going to go to a 7:10 Eastern first pitch between the Kansas City Royals and the Tampa Bay Rays, where Brady Singer starts for Kansas City and Shane McClanahan, lefty, goes for the Tampa Bay Rays, who are a 2-1 on favourite, minus 200 for Tampa Bay. Kansas City, a plus 170. Tolia is set at a low 6.5. And this game is to be handicapped by, why can't I see it? Who is it? Kansas City. Is it me again? It's not me this
probably
time.
Probably you. Dylan hasn't said anything.
It is Dylan. Come on, Dylan. Pay attention.
I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take it. Another game where I was able to grab an under 7, but the line is at 6.5 right now. I don't know if I would play that number. I only made my line 6.4, so maybe to get a better price on the game, I do like the Rays minus 1.5 at plus 120. I was actually willing to lay minus 105 with the Rays on the run line. So the Rays are playing much better baseball this past week. Maybe playing the Yankees got their confidence back a little. But with their ace on the mound at home, I really like them to win comfortably. Brady Singer isn't terrible, but I just can't see them hitting McClanahan this time around. He did lose his last start against him, so maybe a little revenge game for him. So like the under, and I do like the Rays on the run line.
Yeah, McClanahan's been struggling a little bit lately. He's 5.47 in his last five, and his K's are right down as well. So again, there might be an under there on the K. But I attack this a different way, which I don't normally do, which is to take the underdog on the run line. This is going to be low scoring. And this feisty Kansas City offense, if they can get to McClanahan for maybe two or three runs, that might just be enough. Like you say, it could be a low scoring game. The books certainly think so. So I've got KC on the run line, which is a price of -140, Noah.
Yeah, I mean, you stole my vocabulary word that I like to use for the Royals lineup. They're feisty, dude. I love this Royals team. And honestly, I love Brady Singer. Dude was a stud for my Florida Gators. Shout out trash jersey in the back. But yeah, I mean, Singer has been going amazingly since his return from the minor leagues. A little fastball slider combination for the kid has been incredible. McClanahan's also a guy that was my guy. He's on my fantasy team, been my ace all year. But I've been like very bullish, and like I'm fading him for most of the rest of the year here. I just think that, one, I don't think he's going to go very deep into this game. I do not think it's a game that the Rays need him. And if they are ahead, I think they will pull him. I think they're going to be limiting him down the stretch here and saving him for the postseason. Keep some innings off of that arm, because they're going to want him for many years to come. I like the Royals' chances here. That's all I can really say. I'm just going to keep, if it's not broken, don't fix it. I'm going to keep it up with the Royals.
Okay, so Noah keeps rolling with the Kansas City Royals. Like it, 7:10 Eastern first pitch. He's probably the second. I can't think of the right word. It's the important series of the weekend behind that Blue Jays and Yankees one. It's the Chicago White Sox and the Cleveland Guardians, which gets underway at 7:10 Eastern tomorrow. Lance Lynn will go for the Chicago White Sox. And Tristan McKenzie is going for the Cleveland Guardians. The White Sox here are +112. The Guardians are at -132. Noah, big series this, because the White Sox, as we've discussed the last couple of nights, probably not as bad as we've all been making out. But Cleveland with a chance here to put some distance between them and their divisional rivals here.
Malcolm, what are you doing to my guy Dryden in the chat?
Oh my god. I've been in tears for the last minute when Malcolm said he got a note.
I love Dryden. Dryden is so active in the college baseball Slack channel, and he's moved to Discord with us, and still one of my favorites that I've gained through working for 6 months with SGPN. But yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, the White Sox and the Guardians here. I told you guys my read on the White Sox was not that, I wasn't that confident in it, and I don't think it's that good. I had them on the money line. I thought it was one of my favorite dog plays of the Thursday slate. Malcolm, can you update us on your total that you hit for that Astros White Sox game? Because I had the White Sox money line there.
The total was 8.5. It finished 21-5. So yeah, we just squeezed in.
So the Astros covered the total in the spread of the game.
They covered it. They covered it twice. Covered it, and then they covered it again.
Yeah, and I was on the White Sox. So I mean, if that's enough tell, I don't know if my opinion on the White Sox matters much to the listeners, but I thought they would win. They were just blown out early and throughout that game. Pick your poison this weekend with this series. The White Sox, Guardians, they can go either way. Both teams really have just kind of been up and down throughout the whole season. By principle, though, I think the Guardians coming off of an off day here and the White Sox off of an ass-kicking by Houston in the last game of a four-game series, I like the spot for the Guardians. And then the White Sox, Lance Lynn, he hasn't been great lately, 3-5 on the year, 5.62 ERA, 69 strikeouts, 11 walks in 65.2 innings pitched. He has a 7.53 road ERA, a 4.21 ERA in his last four starts. And for Cleveland, Tristan McKenzie, he's 8-9, 3.14 ERA, 124 strikeouts, 35 walks, and 134.2 innings pitched. At home, he has a 2.82 ERA. So I really like the spot. I like the pitching matchup. Give me the Guardians here in this one.
Yeah, well, I'll chirp in there as well because I came down on the same side. Of the two pitchers, I just trust McKenzie ever so slightly more. And there's not much between the two lineups. It is a big series. Home advantage, Cleveland at -140 seemed reasonable to me as well, Dylan.
I had to get myself together after that. That was yeah, team ride here. Give me the Guardians here on the money line. I love the pitching matchup for them as well. It's an off day like Noah mentioned. And McKenzie, he's been really solid for the Guardians at home this year. He's already beaten the White Sox on the road. He went five innings, only gave up one run. And the Guardians won that game. Now facing them back home where I think he'll have a better performance, I got to take the Guardians. Both clubs, they are playing pretty well, not after tonight or today with the White Sox, but I do trust the Guardians a little more. I just can't get behind Lance Lynn on the road. So Guardians here.
7:20 Eastern first pitch. The Houston Astros go to the Atlanta Braves. Lance McCullers Jr. goes for the Astros, and Kyle Wright will take the ball for Atlanta. These lines have just dropped as well as we've been speaking. Houston are +115, Atlanta -135. I see no totally as yet. Dylan, briefly, can you give us a number on this, you reckon?
Yeah, so the IC total's up and it's at 8.5, and that's okay. Exactly where I'm going. I'm going to go under. I feel like I've been playing a lot of unders for the Astros lately, but yeah, they've gone under this number in three straight, not today. They scored blackjack tonight. So they went over today. But for the most part, Astros for the year have been an under team. So I also like Wright, who pitches better at home. And I know Lance McCullers, he's only had that one start, and it was against the A's. But I thought he looked pretty sharp. I think both pitchers can keep this under the total. So maybe they got all the runs out of the team today. So maybe you want to look towards the first five under, but I like the full game under 8.5.
Yeah, you're right. McCullers has just had that one game back, pitched six innings and struck out five. And he did look sharp. It was a beautiful introduction for him, actually, because he was at home against Oakland. So you couldn't really have selected a better opposition or a spot for you to make a debut back. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how McCullers continues against kind of a proper team tomorrow. Kyle Wright, I handicapped him last night, actually, thinking he was going against DeGrom in the Thursday night game. Kyle Wright's got a 14-5 record, a 3.14 ERA, has pitched 134 and two thirds with 129 strikeouts. 3.69 record in his last five. This has got the look of a little bit of a pitching duel about it. And I do also like taking the Houston unders, the same as Dylan just talked us through. So obviously Houston, you tend to find this. I don't know if this is just CSA. There's probably no stats to back this up. But once a team's gone berserk, like Houston have done tonight, you tend to find they could have a three-run night. So yeah, I think we can get this under 8.5 tomorrow, Noah.
Yeah, I like the under here. And yeah, I mean, they went crazy today. They're historically this season been an under team. So you have to think that they're going to somewhat regress through the mean. And even better to support that fact is it's a travel day. They're going from Houston to Atlanta, changing time zones. Just a general rule. And Kyle Wright at home been dominant this year. Another one of my Vandy boys that I like to tail in the MLB. I honestly like the angle of a pitcher's duel, and I like McCullers on the strikeouts because Atlanta is terrible with the right-handed spinners, and Lance McCullers with his Uncle Charlie, that curveball is so wicked. He had five strikeouts against Oakland. They're not really a strikeout team, even though they're really bad offensively. This Atlanta team, they're bottom three in the MLB in strikeouts. So that one would be an interesting K prop to eye tomorrow.
Okay, next up, 8:10 Eastern first pitch, the Texas Rangers at the Minnesota Twins. Martin Perez, left-handed pitcher, goes for Texas. And Dylan Bundy is the pitcher for the Twins. Texas are +120, Minnesota -140. No lines, no totals, for this one, but we can throw it straight over to Dylan. who can give us his total and then his thoughts on the game.
Yeah, so I see totals eight, minus 110 both ways. I lean over. I made my total 8.5, but I'm going to attack the side. Give me another dog. I'll take the Rangers on the money line at plus 120. I actually made them a minus 105 favorite. So Martin Perez, he's gotten five of his nine wins on the road this year. Besides that one poor start against the Astros, Perez was on a stretch of five games in a row where he didn't allow more than one run in all those games. So they got a big win today. I think they'll be able to get to Dylan Bundy as well. So give me the Rangers here, plus 120. I think they'll upset the Twins.
Okay, so a nice dog there for Dylan. Noah, you backing him up?
Yeah, I'm looking up Dylan Bundy's road ERA right now, 5.91. What I will say, though, is that the Twins, they did pretty well against left-handed pitching. I mean, if Bundy on the road, it's pretty much a clear fade. I like the over. I'm not going to jump on the Rangers money line. Perez is the one pitcher that, you know, it's probably the safest to do it. But still, the bullpen's a little bit shaky. They don't really have a closer right now. So I'm going to go with an over in this one as my pick.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about this one. I think Dylan's talked me into Texas here, you know. I was kind of okay with Bundy, but I'm just looking back, and he hasn't been going very deep into games. He's gone 5 1/3 once. His last four starts have been 5-4, 5-4. So yeah, they can get rid of him pretty early here, and Texas can score some runs. Texas has been a little bit more competitive lately. They're not that good on the road, but the prices, especially the disparity between the price I'm seeing at plus 120. And the price that Dylan is manufactured at minus 105. That's a big gap, so there might be some value here. I'm going to call an audible. I had Minnesota written down. Dylan, you've talked me into it. I would buy some coffee off you, man. Texas.
No. I'm going to send you a box. After all our winnings accumulated throughout this season, yeah. I'll give you a box.
Yeah, it'll cost you about 50 quid to send it over to me. That is very true, actually. Okay, I look forward to that. If Texas wins, I'll have a box of coffee. That's the plan there. 8:40 Eastern, first pitch is the San Francisco Giants at the Colorado Rockies. Left-handed pitcher Alex Wood for San Francisco. And Noah's guy, Jose Ureña, will go for the Colorado. He is your guy. He's definitely your guy. San Francisco, a minus 163. Colorado, plus 137. Total at 11.5. Noah, it's your guy, so we can come across to you first.
First off, the travel situation, San Fran going to Colorado from San Francisco, not too bad. Colorado, they're coming into town from St. Louis. You got to look at the starting pitchers and what they're throwing here when they go to Coors Field, and this is just a matchup where the two starters do not have pitch mixes that work for Coors Field. Alex Wood throws 48% sinkers, 19% changeups, which is his third most used pitch. And then the Jose Ureña, he throws 54% sinkers, 16% changeups, which is his fourth most used pitch. It's the first game for both of these teams in Denver, though, so the altitude's going to affect the offenses a little bit. I think this total is set pretty high. I think it can sneak under. It's not a confident play by any means, but I think it's a little too high. As for the side, San Francisco, they're starting Alex Wood. Like I mentioned, he's 8-9 on the year, 4.18 ERA, 119 strikeouts, 27 walks, and 118.1 innings pitched. And Jose Ureña is 1-4 with a 4.80 ERA, 27 strikeouts, 26 walks this year. I'm not betting anything here, but my pick would be the Giants. And like I said, I like the under.
I agreed with you there. I think the 11.5 is just too high. Just the offenses are not great, particularly San Francisco going in there. They score a few, but I think Colorado, Charlie Blackman took a little bit of a knock tonight as well. He's gone day to day. He's a big piece of their offense. They haven't got that many. So missing Charlie Blackman might just be worth another run off the board here. So yeah, I'll come down on the same side as you, Noah, with the under 11.5. Dylan, what was your number?
Yeah, so I actually leaned towards the over. I made it 11.9, but this was a game where it was really hard to handicap. I did make the Giants a minus 160 favorite, So I got them at a minus 140, but they're a little too high to give out. So I kind of lean the over. We do have 10-mile-an-hour winds blowing out in Coors Field tomorrow. So the Rockies, they could flat out hit the ball at home. So I think both pitchers are susceptible to giving up a few runs. I don't know if it's that many to go over the number. So slight lean towards the over, but nothing I'm too confident in.
Yeah, so we end up on opposite sides of that one. 9:40 Eastern first pitch is the Washington Nationals at the San Diego Padres. Paulo Espina for the Washington Nationals, and lefty Blake Snell will go for the Friars. The lines are Washington plus 285. San Diego are a very prohibitive minus 345. Totally has set at 8. Espino has a record of 0-5, 4.20 ERA. 81 and one third pitch, 61 strikeouts. Blake Snell is 5-6, 3.66 ERA, 78 and two thirds with 105 punches. Espino, 5.79 ERA in his last five, doesn't go very deep in the game, so you're going to get four or five innings out of him. I was really trying to find a more interested way of handicapping this game, because you get these, I mean, you've got a minus 350 favourite on the board here. Espino's got two decent starts to his name recently, and they're both on the road. One earned run efforts against the Chicago Cubs and at the LA Dodgers. So I think there's potential for the Nationals to keep this relatively close. Snell's been dealing. He's only given up three earned runs in 28 and two thirds, which works out at a 0.94 ERA. This is a relatively low total at 8. I'm going to, for the second time around, I'm going to take Washington with the extra, the plus 1.5. I'm going to take that at a price of plus 135. Maybe they'll get me, but maybe they can keep this to a 4-3, something along those lines. I heard, who made a noise there? Was that you, Dylan, made the surprised grunt?
Yeah, I was actually very surprised. They actually covered the 1.5 yesterday against the Cubs, losing only by one, so... Yeah, maybe. This is probably just going to be another game where I probably won't have any action. But I did see a 7.5 earlier, and I thought that was kind of low, and I leaned over. I made my total 7.8, so now at an 8, I would lean under instead of over now. But can't touch the Padres either. There's no value on them either on the run line. So maybe you want to put them in your money line parlay. I just, that's the only way I see value in playing this game, unless you really think the Nationals could upset them, but I don't.
Noah, did you have anything interesting or exciting on this?
I have no analysis to add for side or total. I just want to address that our cash cow has been tipped. Blake Snell, in his last four outings, he hasn't had like that usual outing where he gives up a crap load of walks. He's actually fixed his controls issues, and he's been a strikeout machine. 10 strikeouts, 8 Ks, 9 Ks, 7 Ks in his last four starts. So it's kind of flipped from like an automatic walk prop to, you know what, let's consider the strikeout prop on this guy, which is kind of wild. And you know what, when we hop onto the strikeout prop, that's when he's going to suck again. So that's my analysis on that. Do you guys see the Black Panther that the San Diego Padres had in their dugout yesterday?
No. What, a real one?
Not a real one, but obviously. Oh, okay. But it's like, I don't know, 3 feet long, and they after Jake Cronenworth's grand slam, they took a dugout photo, and he was like holding the Panther. It was interesting. I think it's kind of funny because it's something new, and that like chain with their spinning logo, that was like Tatis's thing, so they got rid of it, and I think it's a whole new mojo, and it's kind of funny.
We'll come back to you when they've got a real Black Panther, then we'll have something to talk about. Run Your Pool is the home of competition, bringing sports fans and their social circles together to compete, connect, and make every game matter more. Run Your Pool offers every type of game under the sun, from pick'ems to survivors to fantasy pools. It is a one-stop shop for sports gaming with customizable features that you don't get anywhere else. We have teamed up with Run Your Pool to host a pool for our official SGPN NFL Survivor Contest. So you can hop in there now to reserve your spot. $500 cash and a $250 gift certificate to the winner, brackets me. Sign up today at play.runyourpool.com/SGPN. That's play.runyourpool.com/SGPN. And Sleeper, the fantasy platform, it's getting lots of traffic from me at the moment, as well as the 4 million other users, the best fantasy app around. But they have added that over or under game to the app, where you can pick your players, pick your prop, choose your own stake, and then you can win anywhere between 2 and 20 times that stake by being right. With the NFL season right around the corner, Sleeper is the first sports contest game built into the fantasy experience. Join Sleeper on your mobile phone. Use the code sleeper.com/SGP. Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. Go to sleeper.com/SGP. Get the $100 match on your first deposit. T's and C's apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. Three games left to handicap here on the MLB Gambling Podcast. We've got another TBD picture here, slipped through the net. Although I've got, I do have a name in mind. The game is a 9:40 Eastern first pitch between the Seattle Mariners and the Oakland Athletics, where I believe it's Marco Gonzalez going for Seattle and Cole Irvin will get the start, the lefty for Oakland. I see some money lines as well, so Gonzalez is probably right. Seattle are -135, Oakland +115. No total on that, but Dylan can sort us out with that one.
Yeah, low total set. I see sevens across the board. Over is -118. Under is at even. I hate to fade my second favorite team, but I did make the A's a -105 favorite. I just can't back Marco Gonzalez right now. He's 2-1 against the A's this year, but for the past six games, he's been unbackable for me. This could be an awful play, but the Mariners have won three in a row, and the A's just can't buy a win. But Cole Irving at home has been incredible. He hasn't allowed more than two runs at home all year. I have to back him here. I just hope he gets the run support, because if he does, I think they're live dogs. So give me another home puppy.
Hey, what about the first five play, Dylan? Is that not the more prudent way of attacking it, do you think?
So I see plus a half for the Oakland at -140. It's a little chalky for me.
Yeah, so you're right. It's a little bit.
If it was at -125, -120, I'd play that as well.
Yeah, fair enough. That was my thinking. I've got Oakland first five. Because like I say, I really like Cole Irvin, and he's been absolutely excellent. Noah, did you have an angle on this one? Noah, you're on mute. You're on mute, you buffoon.
Dang it. I was on mute because of the ad. It's tough to back Oakland with their bullpen guys, right? It's safer to go first five.
Yeah, a little, but I don't know. I would back.
I mean, Irvin pitching at the dump has been amazing this year. So that's my angle. You know,
the dump.
Oakland really, it's not much of a threat. But when Irvin's on the mound, they can win a low scoring ball game. They got to keep it low scoring when Irvin comes out, though. That's the biggest key.
I just called you a buffoon there. I don't think anyone's used the word buffoon in a sentence since about 1978. So that might be a record. I apologize for that. Next up, 9:40 Eastern first pitch between the St. Louis Cardinals and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Miles Mikolas for the Cards and Tommy Henry, left-handed pitcher, will go for the D-backs. Money lines only on this one. St. Louis -175. Arizona +145. Noah, I think you're the man to tell us about Tommy Henry.
Yeah, that's my guy. Travel days for both teams, though. St. Louis going to Arizona from Missouri, and Arizona just a little bit of travel down from San Francisco. Nothing too serious. Starting for St. Louis is Miles Mikolas. He's 9-9 on the year, 3.44 ERA, 114 strikeouts, 27 walks, and 149.1 innings pitched. Besides road starts in tough ballparks at Colorado and Cincinnati, Mikolas has been money. As for my guy, Tommy Henry, he's 2-1 in three career starts, 4.15 ERA, 9 strikeouts, 8 walks, and 17.1 innings pitched. He's going to be thrown to the wolves here for the second straight start. He had to start at Coors against a left-handed pitching-eating team in the Rockies. And now he has to go up against another left-handed pitching dominant hitting team and the Cardinals. They have an 804 OPS, which leads the MLB right now. Henry has a little bit of a control issue going on in his last few starts. Some of that may have had to do with Coors, but he really hasn't had a bad start yet in the pros. I think it comes here, to be honest. Plus, with how hot Albert Pujols has been, it's all against left-handed pitchers, too. He's got like three tanks in the last two games. This just is not going to be Tommy Henry's day. Give me the Cardinals in every which way. Money line, run line, team totals, I like it.
Okay. Dylan, Mikolas against Tommy Henry?
Yeah, Malcolm, I think this is a new record. Give me another home dog. I'll take the D-backs plus 148. Both teams playing well in their last 10 games, but the Cardinals particularly not a good road team, under 500, and the D-backs have been solid at home this year. Tommy Henry only making his fourth start, like Noah said, and I like what I've seen from him so far. He hasn't pitched bad at all, I think. He gives you good length. He keeps the hits to a minimum. He has to cut down on the walks a little bit, I think, but if he does that, I think he could limit the Cardinals. I'll take another shot with Tom Henry and the Snakes here.
I don't know if you guys remember how high I was on Reed Detmers at the beginning of the year. He kind of struggled, had a little bit of control issues, wasn't striking out many guys. It's exactly how I kind of see Tommy Henry right now. So I'm just saying, like, maybe right now isn't the best time where I'm like all in head first back in Henry, although it kind of has seemed like it. But I think in due time, Henry's going to be a dominant left-handed pitcher like Detmers has turned into in the second half of the season.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's good analysis, Noah. Last game on the card. Yeah, 10-10.
Wait, Eastern
did you give that a pick, Matt?
Oh.
Did you get a, give a
pick? Yeah, under 8.5 for me. Because I've heard Noah talk Henry up before, I think he could hold it together. And I'm also fading the Cards who scored all those runs tonight, the same as we're fading Houston, who scored all those runs. So, yeah, Henry can hold it together, and that will go under 8.5. Yeah. Glossing over myself there, sorry. Last game, 10-10. Eastern first pitch is the Miami Marlins at the LA Dodgers, which is Jesus Luzardo, left-handed pitcher for the Miami Marlins. And another lefty, Tyler Anderson, will go for the LA Dodgers. Miami plus 220. LA Dodgers are minus 270. I've got no total on this one either. If you got a over or under there, Dylan, for us?
Yeah, I see eights across the board, minus 110 both ways.
Okay, so a total of eight. Luzardo 3-5, has a 3.72 ERA, has pitched 46 innings with 58 strikeouts. Anderson 13-2 on the season, 2.81 ERA, 128 and a third pitched with 101 strikeouts. Luzardo's plodding along okay. That's pretty much all he's doing. He's actually been a lot better on the road. 2.80 ERA on the road. Relatively small samples, though, remember. He's only pitched sort of 46 innings so far this season. He's been consistent with his strikeouts. You might have noticed, Noah, this is your influence. That's about the third time I've mentioned strikeout props tonight. This is you getting in my head. I thought if there was a five.
I'm getting in your head because it works.
Yeah, I thought if there was a 5.5 kicking around, the over there could be a play for Luzardo. Tyler Anderson, 2.88 ERA in his last five. His last home start, he went 7 scoreless against the Padres. This is boring. This is the play I probably should have made on San Diego against Washington, but I am going to make it in the Dodgers against the Marlins here, which is the Dodgers on the run line. Not very exciting. But yeah, possibly I'll have a look at the Luzardo strikeout props, Noah.
Not very enticed by Luzardo's strikeout props, just by the fact that the Dodgers crush left-handed pitching. They're fifth in
the MLB, that's fair enough.
And OPS with a 7.58. So not like super excited to look at that prop number tomorrow. But, you know, if it comes out at 4.5, might be a little enticing because he should be able to get 5. But yeah, just different ways to skin the cat, but it's Dodgers run line here against the Marlins. And I think this is a travel spot for the Marlins, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Dylan?
Yeah, I'll end the show with the total. I do like the Dodgers on the run line, but give me the under 8. I made my total 7.1. Anderson, he's been terrific at home, undefeated this season. And his last 3 starts at home, all 3 have gone under the number. He's only allowed 5 runs at home in the last 34 innings. Now he gets the Marlins team, who they finally scored more than three runs in over a week. I think they're going to have a tough time hitting him. As long as the Dodgers don't unload a lot of runs, I think this game could go under eight. So I'm going to dive under eight.
That's not a bad play, because I didn't look up the travel spots prior to this. Miami, they do have a day off, but they are coming from Miami to the LA, and LA is going from Milwaukee to LA, so it's a little bit of a travel spot for the Dodgers bats. So under might not be bad.
Okay, lock and dog picks to come in a moment. I don't know what's going on here. Someone's cooking something. Now it's 10 to midnight, and everyone's been in bed for about 2 hours. But I can smell, you know, like when you walk past a bakery or something.
Yeah.
And that's what I've got going. Possibly I'm having a stroke, because I think if you can smell toast, that is a sign that you're having a stroke. So if I pass out, if you could call someone. Other than that, someone's cooking something. I'm going to have to go and investigate this in a few minutes.
Is that why you kept looking around?
Yeah. I can't decide if it's coming from the kitchen, which is that way, or if it's coming from outside, which is that way.
Those are just like supernatural beings telling you, this is us getting you back for jinxing all of the no hitters and perfect games that you have on stream. So that's what's going on. You're just gonna have a stroke on stream and be able to podcast episode.
Oh my god!
All right.
He was the one that first said it. That's not my joke. He joked about it first.
keep it light, Noah. Can you please?
Who do we call?
Yeah, neither do I. He's in England. What do we do?
Ring Moonaf.
911. Hey, I'm podcasting with a dude in England who just passed out. What do I do?
If you ring 999, you probably get through to an English paramedic. They'll be all right. I'll tell you what, though. Get this beautiful segue, boys. The thing when you've bought your delicious baked goods is to enjoy it with a cup of Trade Coffee, which connects customers to the freshest and best tasting coffee they've ever made at home by partnering with the country's best craft roasters. This is expert tasted coffee. They keep 450 different kinds live and ready to ship every day. There is a perfect coffee for you, and Trade will help you find it if you take their quiz, and that's the place to start. Drinktrade.com/SGP. Take the quiz over there, and Trade Coffee will deliver a bag of freshly roasted coffee as either whole beans or ground. They'll guarantee you love your first order, or they'll replace it for free. So get to drinktrade.com/SGP. Take the quiz and let Trade find you a coffee that you love. That's drinktrade.com/SGP for $30 off. And finally, Dave, the banking app that can help you out at the end of the month. If you're a little bit short, if you need to fill the car up or get some shopping in or pay a few bills, something like that. Dave, the banking app can help you out with $500 instantly with extra cash, which is just a little bit of extra money that you'll need to get through those days. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. That's DAVE. Sign up for an extra cash account. Get up to $500 instantly. For T's and C's, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking is provided by Evolve, and that is a member of the FDIC. Okay, then, gents, lock and dog time, and we will let Noah lead off tonight. Go for it, man.
Thanks, Malcolm. After I attempted, I guess, to kill you, maybe.
Yeah, after you put me in the hospital, but yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking I'd be put in the doghouse for that one, because you did that to Dylan like a month ago or whatever. But you know, my lock's going to be the under eight in the stud pitching matchup between the Mets and the Phillies. Bassett, Nola, that one spells under in my opinion. And I gave this play out. I showed my hand early. It's a wild one. It's bold, but fortune favors the bold. Give me the Yankees -1.5 in a low scoring game. I think it'd be like 3-1, 4-2. -1.5 +165.
Excellent. Dylan, what are you telling us?
Yeah, I do like the underplay. Noah, run line for the Yankees, ballsy. So good luck to you.
Yeah, definitely is.
It's for the Stephen A. Smith effect. That's
yeah,
what I'm going
no, with. He's a clown sometimes. I will admit that. Let me go with the Guardians -130. I think we're getting a really discounted price on a much better pitcher, McKenzie. So I'm just going to fade Lance Lynn. He's not a guy I want to get behind on the road. So Guardians are my lock. And as for my dog, I just had it, guys.
You got loads of dogs to choose from,
yeah,
didn't you?
I know.
Yeah,
that's
he had
why.
Like six pups. He's at the adoption center right now.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Give me the Rangers plus 120.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Stole Malcolm.
I love Martin Perez. Like I said, I made them a minus 105 favorite. So getting plus 120. And I know I just can't back Dylan Bundy. So he was on a 5-game stretch where he didn't allow more than one run. I think he's going to limit the Rangers, the Twins. So give me the Rangers on the money line plus 120.
Okay, my lock of the night is going to be the under 8.5 in the Astros Braves game. Like the Astros unders, generally speaking, I think McCullers can deal, and Kyle Wright's been brilliant. So everything pointing towards an under for that. I will, in the interests of sport, not give out the Rangers as a double dog. I'm going to take it off the board. I'm going to give out a dog that's a similar price. We're going to go right back to the top of the show, and it's the Chicago Cubs.
Nice.
They are plus 120 at home to the Brewers. And yeah, Ashby, you just can't trust Ashby at all. I like him a lot. I don't trust him. Different things liking and trusting. So yeah, give me the Cubs there at plus 120 back at home. I think they can get us that win. And that, boys and girls, has got us to the end of the show. So cheers, Noah. Cheers, Dylan. Noah, is it more Little League tonight?
Yeah, Little League stuff. Honestly, I don't really have a play for tonight. Tomorrow, Hawaii makes a return. So technically, it would be August 19th when you're listening to this pod. Hawaii makes their return, and they're going up against, I believe, Utah, which is an interesting little storyline because Utah's playing for a teammate that, you know, it was a rough story here, and that he fell off his bunk bed and like fractured his skull at Little League. So that was tough.
Why are you laughing?
Stop laughing, you evil, evil Englishman.
Yo, you're crazy.
I was laughing before you said fractured his skull. They're just falling off his bunk bed. It's like a cartoon.
I've done it.
You've done it?
Yeah.
Oh, that explains a few things, Dylan, actually.
Yeah.
I've stood up on a, like not really stood up, but I've gotten on my knees and gotten smacked in the head by a ceiling fan spinning around. So yeah, the bunk beds are dangerous, man. But yeah, so they'll be playing, the kids will be playing with heavy hearts. It's either going to affect the big time, and they're going to go out there and get smashed by the best team in Williamsport this year, or they're going to play tough. So I don't know. I'm just rolling over Hawaii.
Do they not have bunk beds across the pond?
We do have bunk beds. Yeah, all right. I apologize to that young man who fractured his skull. Sorry. Dylan, what's happening with you the rest of the night?
Oh, man. I'm going to watch the great matchup between Max Fried and Jacob DeGrom. So hopefully the Mets can split this series. Big game tonight. So just going to relax.
That one's a good one.
Yeah, watch
that. Brilliant. Cheers, boys. I appreciate it. Thanks, everyone, for joining. Good luck with all your bets. I'm going to go and investigate that smell. And until then, we will see you down the road. Cheers.